Uh-oh. I should have been more prepared for that. I guess I'll do it myself.
Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and believe it or not, he came back from Tampa. Dan the Man is actually with me today. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something new popping up there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right, so tell us all about Tampa and how the Rays game was and when you're moving there.
I wish I was moving there. I mean, we actually were outside of Tampa, so we only got to go in for the game for the night. It's a decent stadium. I mean, there's really nothing that special about it. They don't really do anything to, you know, interact with the fans to bring them, you know, the ones that do show up. There isn't, you know, for a team that doesn't draw, you can see why they don't draw. There's really nothing going on there unless you're a baseball fan and you're there to watch the game. The stadium isn't that great, but you do have the option of walking around the whole thing with, you know, no issues. Kind of getting a view, obviously, but not really up there. You know, definitely at the bottom of my list so far.
Oh. Now, is there anything to do around the ballpark? You know, like, is there anything in proximity to it?
Construction.
Oh, okay. So, you know, there's, like, no cool restaurant or anything to stop and see?
Not that I know of. I'm like the worst person you could ask that for. You know, yeah. I can tell you it's nothing like Wrigleyville, where, you know, even Boston, you know, with all the stuff they've got going on there, being in the city. This is, it's pretty much in the city. And, you know, what we did pass, it looked like it was closed. So, yeah. It really wasn't all that great.
Yeah, because, well, you know, I think that's the thing. Once you've been to, like, Wrigleyville, Fenway Park, isn't that kind of how you measure everything? You're looking for, you know, almost the ambiance around the park as much as you're looking at the park?
Yeah, that's another part of it. And, you know, like I mentioned during the game, you know, minor league teams do a hell of a lot better job engaging their fans than this major league team that, you know, barely drew, well, box office sales were 9,000. So.
Yeah, that's a little rough.
You know, and supposedly the actual draw was only about 3,300 people there.
Yeah, how many people actually showed up?
Yeah. You know, they did have, like, two games that they played with fans in between. And, but, I mean, it was, you know, minor league games definitely have a lot more, are a lot more exciting.
So, well, I mean, do you think if they, I don't know, if they did more, do you really think it would help the attendance?
I think so. I mean, you know, part of the problem is that they're not going to get that new stadium, which would have moved it out of the area they're in, which is more St. Pete, because there's only one bridge that takes you in. So there's really technically only one way in and one way out. And I don't think where the stadium is located is populated. I think it's more of a business district. So that's what I meant by what seemed like a lot of, any kind of restaurants or anything were closed, because I think they closed for the day. You know, like downtown Chicago, you know, they're open for the rush. And then, they're not open in the evening. So, parking was easy down there, you know. But like I said, crossing that bridge, once you pass the Buck Stadium, you know, it should be only like a 15-minute drive. But with the way traffic is, the construction, and there only being one way technically in and out, it can take you anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes.
Well, that's no fun.
No. I mean
that's
I don't know where the new stadium would have been held, but I'm sure if it would have been closer to the Bucks or something like that, it would be a little bit more accessible for people. But, you know, some of the things, maybe stupid things that I think they could do, is going completely LED. So they have in these old school lights in the stadium where they take time to warm up. Because at the end of the game, they were able to switch on some of the LED lights and the purple went on and, you know, there's a little celebration when they ended. But, I mean, you know, obviously you're not going to do fireworks if you don't. But if they went completely LED, anytime, you know, the home team hit a home run, they can do an LED show, illuminate the dome so it looks, you know, almost like a club atmosphere, I guess you could say. And not even so much a club atmosphere, but, almost like the candle, not candlelight bowling, but that, the bowling at night when they put on the black lights, and I forget what the hell they call it, but.
Well, you were right, it's called candlelight bowling.
Oh, is it? So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, if they kind of went that route, and, you know, one of the things I noticed too, you and I were talking yesterday, was the baseball girls. I don't know their technical term. You know, not like in hockey, they're the ice girls, but the baseball girls pretty much only made one round throughout the stadium, and then they sat in the nice little club section along the first base line. They just sat there the whole time. So, I mean, you know, not that it's their job to make stuff up, but their marketing and promotions team should have these girls doing a lot more. But, you know, kudos for them, because whatever they're getting paid or internship, you know, for their resume, they basically get to go and hang out at the ballpark.
And you were going to go over there and sit with them, but your wife was with them. Oh.
Exactly.
It's a little odd, isn't it? Because Tampa Bay actually wins games.
Yeah.
I think they were a 9-win team last year, I believe. So it's a little strange that, you get a team here that, and obviously I know the stadium is never rated very well, but, they always seem to have a couple decent young prospects. And like I said, they win games, but what are you kind of seeing now that you've actually been there that this team didn't draw? Is it just the area, or do you think there might be something more kind of leading to that?
I think the area, it's nice down there, but, people live down there. So it's not, just your snowbird town, where I was an hour away. It was pretty much the snowbird. It's one of those things where they really have to focus on drawing the younger fans to the people that actually live there. Because, you know, my wife's uncle, the only reason he would go to a game is if the White Sox are in town.
Yeah.
You know, because he's from Chicago and you've got all that. So you would think it would help out. You know, that was one thing. I was listening to the Cubs over, you know, a couple of days ago, whatever, out in Arizona. And they were talking, Brenly was talking about how after the Cubs leave, like, the Yankees will be in town, and then I think the Dodgers, and, they, you know, for teams like that, it's great to have those teams coming in. You know, you like them a little bit more spread out, but you get a good draw with the Cubs and the Yankees and, you know, the Dodgers coming to town. And to me, it looks like when you go to Tampa, that doesn't even make a difference either. You know, I would have liked to have gone and seen that weekend, but we didn't get there until Saturday night late. You know, and unfortunately, we had to stay with the family for dinner on Easter, so I couldn't, you know, go see the Red Sox on Easter Sunday. Which I think I would have had more fun doing that. But you know, it would have been interesting to see, you know, what the game. And maybe I'll go back and check that out on MLB.tv. But, you know, they've got to really do something to get the fans in there. And my wife's uncle was saying, you know, with them being on a regular about an hour out from the stadium, you know, it's rough when they've, you know, 7 o'clock start. You know, they want to stay. They want to stay for the whole game. But when you're getting out of the stadium at 10:30 and then having to drive an hour, but you're getting stuck in traffic, because there's only one way out, you know, now you're looking at, you know, getting at home at like 11:30, 12 o'clock, and then trying to drag your kid to school the next day. Or, you know, we're older, so we can handle a little bit better, but, you know, it's rough on me too.
Yeah, you could. I couldn't. I'd have to stay home the next day. Well, you know, and then how were, you know, like, obviously now you visited, you know, some other stadiums. You know, obviously you go to Wrigley, you've been to Guaranteed Rate, you know, Fenway, you've been to, well, it's not, they don't play in Candlestick anymore, but what is it, AT&T or something they play in now? So,
no, they just changed it to Oracle.
Okay. So, yeah, you've bought tickets to all these places. How are the tickets in Tampa Bay compared to these other places you've been? You know, price-wise.
Oh, price-wise, I mean, unfortunately, I had to buy a ticket for my daughter who sat in her own chair for all of, like, 6 minutes.
Good. I didn't think we were going to get that long.
Yeah. And I think that's only because she had the bucket of popcorn. You know, so... you know, I bought 4 tickets. They were the handicap because my father-in-law is in a wheelchair. So I ended up spending $72 flat. You know, and I just told the guy, I'm like, just give me the most affordable. And, you know, they were along the first base line. You know, one thing kind of like going to the Sox game is you kind of have free range. So you buy your ticket and then you go in there and maybe you go sit in your seats and then for an inning or two, see how you like to do there, and then you get up and you move. You know, they have standing room, or not standing room, they have bar tops, and they, you know, through left field, through center field. And that I really like, because you can just, you know, say you go up to center field to get your food, to come back in the game, you know, you don't want to walk all the way back to your seat. You can just stand there right there and eat your food and watch, you know, the game. And then by the time you're done eating or, you know, seating changes over, you run back to your seats or just pick any seat and flop down if you feel like it. So, you know, that part of it I do enjoy when you go to stadiums like that don't have a big draw is you get to see a little bit more. You get to see more of the stadium. You know, I wish my father-in-law was, you know, healthier and maybe 10 years younger. We would have moved around a lot more, but we did move, you know, from the first base side to the foul pole line, and they had a bar top that was in position for someone with a wheelchair. So I got to put him up there, and they were really good seats. You know, except for when Jorge Soler was bouncing off the wall in right field and missing, you know, we didn't see that, but.
So yeah, and now I know you're not a ballpark foodie guy, but I know your wife will sample the cuisine. Did you get her anything? Was there anything interesting there that she wanted, or did you actually break down and try something?
I got her the pulled pork nacho.
Oh.
That was a big old thing. But in center field, they had some grilled cheese with ribs, short rib inside the grilled cheese.
Okay.
And, if you're, I know you would be more apt to trying different things definitely than I am. So they had some sliders out in center field that were, a bunch of different stuff. And then they had a little bit of seafood, which I kind of stay away from. So, I mean, they definitely have something for everybody. But of course,
the popcorn.
Yeah. Well, she had a hot dog. I let my father-in-law buy that for her. So I saved, $6.
Yeah. That was probably, you could have spent more on food than on tickets if you weren't careful.
Yeah, and I think I was pretty even, to be honest with you, because I got the big bucket of popcorn and pop, which was like $18. I did make the mistake of not stopping at Walgreens before we went to the game, because you're always allowed to bring in a liter of water. So, I wasn't about to share anything with my father-in-law, and we're not about to give our daughter a bunch of pop. So, I had to spend $9 on $2.50 bottles of water. So.
Yeah.
That one I do regret.
That'll happen.
I do regret that one.
Yeah, well, it's odd that you got, four tickets for $72 when Stu's son took him to the game last year at Wrigley. I don't remember where they sat. He paid $65 a piece for their tickets.
Well, I mean, you can definitely get some cheap ones at Wrigley, but you're also top of the stadium. So...
The next stop will be Finley Park, Oak Park.
Yeah, because he was telling me about that, and then they actually bought, obviously his son was treating him, so they bought food and drinks, and Stu isn't an alcohol drinker, but his son had a beer, and Stu had a beer. They bought some food, and it ran up quite a decent tab, so I'm sure he was pretty happy he wasn't picking up the bill that day.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, obviously, as I've gotten older, home ownership and kids have gotten cheaper. When I go to Wrigley, which I haven't actually been to in a couple of years, there is a pizza place right outside the stadium that serves a slice of pizza that's like a quarter of a big, large pizza. And a drink. As long as you stay in there, you get this little ass cup. So I usually go there, spend $6, make sure I have my unopened bottle of water. And then I go into the park and I don't buy anything there. Unless I'm with my wife, of course.
Yeah. That'll get you more than... more than some of the things. I'm like, whoa. But all right, well, that's enough of Dan's experience to Tampa, because I've been dying to ask you about this all day, Dan, because you know my feelings on the NBA. I am pretty much just disgruntled with the entire thing, and believe it or not, The Houston Rockets just made it worse for me, if you can actually believe that. I don't know if you saw this report, but they said they went through and they audited Game 7 of last year's Western Conference Finals when they lost to the Golden State Warriors. And during their audit, they found 81 calls that the refs missed that the Rockets believed they should have gotten. Dan, you know, the game sucks and it's slow moving as it is. Could you imagine if that whistle would have blown 81 more times? you know, because obviously, you know, and this goes back to their crying about their game one loss because they believe James Harden deserves a foul call every time he jumps forward into another player because he does it with his legs and not his upper body. So they believe that he should get a call every time he does that. And when he doesn't do it, they piss and moan. I got to tell you, Dan, I hate this team so much right now. I hope the Warriors sweep them. And I don't want anything to do with this game or this series or anything that these crybaby chumps are in because NBA is bad enough as it is. Why the hell do I want to watch these games?
I don't know. I don't even turn it on anymore.
No, well, you know, when I watched the end of game one, and he wasn't fouled. You know, he jumped forward into, I think it was Draymond Green, and there was contact with their legs that Harden initiated. And then literally he took one of the best bumps I've ever seen, which is a wrestling term that Dan and I are used to. It's what you're called when you fall after you've been hit. Literally, Dan, he went down like shot. And I was like, you're kidding me. There wasn't enough contact there to even knock you over, let alone the reaction you had to it. And I thought it was a really good no call. Of course, Houston lost, so they cried, and Chris Paul got ejected. And, you know, he is president of the players' union, so I think that's really classy on his part that, he's really showing that he's a mature player and deserves to be running the players' union because he can't even stay in games. And I used to like Chris Paul until this point. So I know game two is tonight, and I honestly can tell you, Dan, I don't care. I don't care who wins. I won't look at the box score. When I come home tomorrow, I'll turn the highlights off because I know it's all the Mickey Mouse Network will talk about because it's all they've talked about today. And I don't get it. What do you think the Rockets are going to get going through a game tape like that and coming up with, well, they missed 81 calls. You think it helps them tonight?
You know, the referees are supposed to be biased, but, I mean, doesn't that kind of rub them the wrong way?
Yeah, well, oddly, what's weird tonight is they got assigned a referee by the name of Scott Foster that the Rockets have had nothing but problems with. I believe the last time he officiated their game, James Harden got fined like $35,000 for the comments he made about him after the game. So this will be, you know, that's the one interesting thing, you know, will this guy call fouls against the Rockets? Because honestly, I don't think the refs are going to. I think everything is going to go the Rockets' way tonight, and it's going to be a 1-1 series just because they're tired. You know, the NBA is tired of listening to, you know, these millionaires just cry about being touched or then the Rockets GM breaking out his analytics and going, well, we were fouled 750 times, and they only called 50 of them. It's like, just shut up, really, please, just shut up.
Yeah, well, you know, I told you that a couple of years ago, that part of the game that just really killed it for me is the reliance on foul game. That was one of the things I noticed, you know, over the past couple of seasons that we actually watched it and got a little bit more involved, and why I lost interest. You know, guys are looking for the foul. They're not looking
the actual. It's exceedingly embarrassing with James Harden does it. you know, just unbelievably so. So, yeah, I just, you know, just ridiculous. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, you know, and then to sit there and listen, just cry. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, I mean, and it's funny because when Jimmy was still with the Bulls and the Cavs and Warriors really had their kind of feud going, I think you, along with me, you know, I was watching a lot of the finals. Now, I haven't even checked the box score for who's doing what.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, I think the thing that's even more embarrassing is the fact that this guy is an MVP. You know, he was the league MVP last year, and you know, if you're the NBA and you're not completely embarrassed by this, there's something wrong with you, and I really think Adam Silver needs to figure something out, because it's just,
yeah, retired.
You know, it's just ridiculous the way, you know, the way these guys walk on the league like this. It's like, really? So,
well, you know, and there's always the I think it's funny that, you know, with the LeBrons, the talk, it's always, oh, the comparison to Jordan and the Jordan era, so to speak. And, you know, we don't ever bring that up with the other guys. And I wonder if that's because everyone knows that they'll never live up to that era.
Oh, well, God, I could just imagine the crying that would go on. These guys had to play in that era. I mean, remember when, you know, what was it? You know, Scottie Pippen got slammed in the basket extension. Oh, you know, it's like, really? This happened. You know, guys would get their heads taken off going to the lane, and you know, it was a really tough physical game. And now, you know, you look at these guys and they get brushed, and it's like, oh, I can't believe you didn't call that foul. Why didn't you call that foul?
Was that the same reason they didn't follow their travel?
Yeah. You know, and that, well, you know, that's the interesting thing. I mean, obviously the Rockets aren't going to mention it, neither Harden, but, you know, they don't mention the fact about how many travels he gets away with, you know, during a game. So
they didn't have the analytics on that, right?
Right. Of course not. You know, yeah, they conveniently forgot that one, that there was a you know, the fact that he takes some extra steps. I remember seeing, you know, there's a highlight out there. I don't know if you can find it, but there's a highlight out there where he takes 5 steps on a play to get a shot off. And you just kind of sit there and think like, well, you complain about the refereeing. You don't complain about the refereeing. How the hell didn't this guy see that? But yeah, it's just, I mean, it completely turned, you know, even the little bit of interest that I had, you know, kind of like who's doing what or, you know, who's kind of winning, it just completely wiped out and any interest whatsoever I had in even looking at an NBA game. And it was just like, good Lord, you guys need to shut up. And, you know, obviously it's all that, you know, all that anybody can talk about. I mean, there's been barely any talk about the, you know, the Bucks and the Celtics, who I believe, are playing tonight as well. But yeah, it's like, really? So.
Yeah, I don't know. It's turning into a game where I'm, interested when the Bulls are playing, and not that overly interested, but it's the local team and they're on, and you're like, hey, let's watch the Bulls, But other than that, I've kind of lost a lot of the interest that I used to have in the game.
Yeah, obviously, I enjoyed seeing, the highlights of Jimmy Butler scoring 30-plus points or whatever last night. That was really cool. But, they get on this and they stick on this, and it just ruins it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, okay, great. What are we talking about today? Who did what? Who's crying about what? So,
yeah, but that's why I think they brought up the fact again this year that the NHL playoffs are kind of kicking butt in ratings. While I was gone, were you surprised that for me, obviously, Capitals getting kicked out was kind of a shocker. I got to witness the end of that fiasco with the Hurricanes, and then kind of going out east, I was a little surprised that San Jose ousted the Vegas Knights. So I know there was those were kind of the bigger series to me. We got started into the second round. How are you liking the hockey playoffs?
Oh, it is like the definition of insane. I don't know if, how, or why anyone would ever bet on a hockey game because it just, or bet on a hockey series because you have literally no idea what is going to go on in any of these series. Really, after round one, St. Louis was playing the best hockey out of anybody. And at one point in time, I believe they were last in the – what are they? They're in the Western Conference. I believe they had the lowest point total out of any team in the NHL. And, right now they're – it wouldn't surprise me at all if they won it all. But then it wouldn't also surprise me if they got beat by – I think they're playing Dallas.
Yeah.
So, it's just – it's crazy on how – this is just kind of shaking out. I've never really seen it where the top teams have just been kind of manhandled like they were. at least your Capitals, at least they stretched it out and they went to a game seven. God, Tampa Bay was embarrassed. Pittsburgh was embarrassed. And it was just like, good Lord.
Now, let's take Tampa out of this equation. But do you think there's any truth behind, kind of the hangovers? And I'm not going to say that Washington had a hangover or anything like that, but more so the fact that, with Pittsburgh and Washington, they played a lot of hockey. Especially extending past the regular season over the last three seasons. So, let's definitely say the last three. Do you think that has any effect on them? Or do you think part of it, too, is the fact that, guys are, you can't keep everybody in. That really takes the toll, too. Carolina has Tavo, the guy from the Hawks, Teravainen. But then they also have Justin Wilson. Those aren't the only guys. But, for me, Justin Wilson was a pretty solid dominant force when he was with the Capitals. And then prior, I think he was with the Ducks or the Sharks. I can't remember exactly. And then, whoever the goalies were, it's like he moved from here to here to here. Hard to keep up with him. Was it Frederick Anderson? Was he the Jets or the Kings? I don't even remember anymore. Toronto.
Yeah, you do kind of wonder if all that hockey is finally, finally caught up with the Penguins and the Capitals. Because I believe they won the last three Stanley Cups, and I think they may have met in the Eastern Conference Finals every year. So it is quite possible that you're looking at teams that just may have been running on fumes a little bit, but there's a lot of really good players in the NHL, and obviously we don't get to see a lot of them, or we don't get to talk a lot of about a lot of them. But the Islanders were better during the regular season than the Penguins, so it's not a huge surprise they won the series. I was just more surprised they swept them than anything else. There's no excuse for what Tampa Bay did. I mean, you can't cover that up. But like I said, Washington played tough. Anytime you go to seven games, that's tough. And, they got beat by – a little younger Carolina team. Maybe they surprised them a little bit. So, that's going to happen. But, it's led to some really exciting things. I mean, if you look now, Carolina's up 2-0 on the Islanders.
Yeah.
So we picked up their second win last night as well. So, I mean, we could be looking at Carolina and St. Louis possible Stanley Cup, and both teams in reality were kind of lucky to even get into the playoffs. you just kind of look at the teams that left, and you can't tell me that Columbus, Colorado, Carolina, St. Louis, Dallas, and you could probably throw San Jose in there because I think a lot of people had Vegas beating them. You can't tell me you thought these teams were going to be here.
No.
And it's weird because it's not like they moved on and then they just got annihilated. Like Columbus and Boston has game three tonight. They're 1-1. San Jose's at Colorado for game three tonight. They're 1-1. And then I mentioned Carolina's up 2-0 and St. Louis is up 2-1. So, it's not like you just kind of got lucky, won a series, and then you got your brains beat in. They've won second round games. So yeah, it's been more than interesting, and I honestly think the NBA should just be completely embarrassed by the way that the NHL playoffs have went compared to theirs. What was the only drama in the NBA? Whether the Thunder could beat the Blazers? That was about the only thing we were looking for in the first round that might have been considered an upset. So, the NBA is just a complete joke at this point in time. And it's disappointing that the NHL isn't a little more popular because, their playoffs are actually genuinely exciting and, you don't have to listen to too many people cry. I know, Vegas was really upset about that call against San Jose that cost them the game, and the NHL admitted that they made a mistake. But that's really the only whining I've heard as of late. I know there was a little bit of flopping last night. I think it was the Dallas-St. Louis game. But I believe that guy ended up getting a penalty. I want to say his name was Edsel. So I don't know if it cost St. Louis the game or anything like that. But, you get that from time to time in the NHL, but you don't get it like James Harden on every single shot, that he takes. And obviously you're not fouling guys in the NHL when they're taking shots. So you just wonder – if there was a way to kind of implant the NHL and get people to start watching it, if they would find it, more interesting than the NBA. But of course, part of the problem is it's extremely expensive to play hockey, where the NBA, you need a ball on a court. so it's not, you know, it's not compare, you know, not really comparable. I mean, it's different, difficult to, you know, find a rink to skate on. You know, how you're going to come up with all that stuff. And obviously the gear is quite pricey. I know guys who used to pay $400 or $500 to play in their hockey leagues, you know, and then they're getting up at 5 a.m. to get their ice time. And, you know, that's just, you know, that's not possible at all for, you know, a lot of families to do where, again, you know, basketball is a ball on a court. That, you know, that's it. So it's, you know, it's a lot simpler, you know, it kind of fits in where, you know, soccer fits in. You need a ball and a field. You know, and then you're kind of all set. You can go in some cases, you know, you don't even need a field. Where I live here at my apartment complex, the kids play in the parking lot. So, you know, it's just kind of what they do or, you know, how they're comfortable doing it. So, you know, a lot of it works in, you know, the financial concerns of the sport. I mean, you know, I don't know if Dan's, you know, daughter has an interest in hockey when she's older, maybe he'll fork out the $400 or $500 to get her in a league. So we'll have to see how that goes.
The league, but it's like you said, the ice time and then the equipment is the killer.
Yeah. Especially if he's a goalie. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, as you know, as a sports fan, the NBA, you know, the NHL playoffs has smoked the NBA playoffs in any way, shape, or form. I mean, you know, honestly, it's to the point where I don't think the NBA could make it up, even if it had some great series. You know, because there would be somebody, a player, to ruin it with the shooting off his mouth. You know, I'm sure that would, you know, end up happening, and, you know, he would just, you know, blow the whole thing for me because I'd like, dude, just shut up and play. You're making millions of dollars. You know, and your game isn't that physical or difficult. It's probably the least physical of all the sports. So, you know, I don't want to hear them crying, but yet they cry. You know, they cry more than any other league.
Yeah. So, but, you know, to get away from the tears that are falling from the sky right now of the NBA players, I do, before I roll into the next one, I did see probably the dumbest headline by NBC Sports Chicago today or yesterday, and that was, will Robbie Gould replace Parkey? Well, he's gone, so no. He can't replace him because he doesn't play here anymore. So I don't know. I just, it's baffling to me, Big Jack, when you're NBC and then you put the sports in Chicago and, like that's really what you came up with. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the editor, whoever, should be just slapped. Like, why did you post that on social media for everyone to see how stupid you are?
Is that in the fact that I think the Bears have already signed a kicker to replace Parkey, so they would have to cut that guy. And then they would have to get the 49ers to agree to trade Robbie Gould, which they said they're not going to do. So, you know, I get it. You know, I understand he wants to be closer to home because his family still lives here.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, the Bears, you know, the Bears can, you know, cry all they want about it, but they had him and let him go. So,
yeah. I don't know. I just – the fact that – that the industry that we would love to be in full time paid puts stuff out like that. Like, I don't know. Just dumb. But you know, that was kind of the natural segue into the NFL. I did not stay for the draft. We left at 5 a.m. Tennessee time, which is our time. So that we can avoid the traffic coming into Nashville and leave you Big Jack. My sister-in-law is probably 35, well, I think almost an hour out of Nashville. So by the time we were passing, you know, downtown Nashville, it was 6 a.m. or so. And the traffic coming in, you know, coming from the north, southbound. It was pretty intense at that time in the morning. So I thought that was pretty interesting. What did you make of the draft? You know, according to some broadcasters here in Chicago, the first, obviously not the first three rounds, but first three rounds of Bears picks are guys that are definitely going to be playing.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Do you see it that way with the Bears? And what do you think of Arizona and Kyler Murray?
You know, you got to remember, technically, the Bears' first two picks were Khalil Mack because they traded those draft picks to get him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, obviously that wasn't a bad pick. And, like, I actually saw one asinine draft reviewer give the Bears an A for their first-round pick. And it was just like, really, they didn't even make a pick. Just leave them out of it. You know, we get it. But, yeah, I've been the guy all along who hasn't been sold on Kyler Murray. You know, maybe I'm wrong. He's going to go on to be a great NFL quarterback, but I'm not in that camp. I don't think he's the next Russell Wilson, which is what he needs to be, you know, to kind of justify this. And, you know, I mean, to be fair, even Wilson was a third-round pick. He was kind of the innovator of all this stuff, you know, the smaller quarterback who could succeed by running from guys. You could throw Cam Newton in the step where he's 6'5 and about 240, so you can't say small. And the tough part about this, I mean, you know how this goes with these guys. A lot of it is just so much wait and see. You know, I mean, what kind of team are they going to put around Kyler Murray? He's got a couple good weapons in, you know, David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, and they did draft a boatload of offensive guys. I think they drafted three wide receivers total. So they're going to try to surround them with some talent, but I'm in the camp that just I didn't like it. So, you know, not, you know, obviously not that I'm right or wrong, but we'll kind of see how it goes. And, you know, they gave away a quarterback. I mean, if Josh Rosen is anywhere close to what was he projected last year, to get a second and a fifth for him, I mean, that Miami got a steal if that works out. So, but yeah.
I don't know. And it just makes you wonder because, I mean, let's be honest. Over the last, would you say 4 or 5 seasons or drafts, all the hot shot quarterbacks they're just kind of regular guys after they've been built up to be so much more than what they are coming into the draft. And of course, I'm not going to take anything away from Mariota or the kid in Tampa, but I mean, the way they were brought into this league through the drafts and, you know, the media, you would have thought that these two guys would have won Super Bowls already.
I mean, those are two guys. You picked two guys who were hugely disappointing. You know, I mean, there were talks that the Bucs weren't even going to pick up Winston's fifth-year option and let him be a free agent. But the new coach they brought in, Bruce Arians, wants to try to work with him. And I know, like, you know, the Titans, Tennessee got to the playoffs last year, but Mariota didn't have a whole lot to do with it. They were well coached. You know, they played really good defense, and, you know, that kind of helped them. But, you know, I mean, you look at some of these other guys, you know, and Baker Mayfield showed some promise, you know, and now he's another guy who's surrounded with a lot more weapons. You know, and I did think Trubisky improved here in Chicago. I don't like the fact that he still likes to run the ball in situations where he should be throwing it. But, we'll see how that kind of works out for him as time goes on. There are some guys, and we'll see how these guys grow now. I mean, Buffalo was a bad team, but Josh Allen had some moments. You know, Baltimore obviously is now committed to Lamar Jackson. You know, that's going to be interesting because, you know, he's never been a great percentage passer. So, his running game is only going to take you so far. So, yeah, you know, so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how kind of these guys develop. And Murray falls right into that group with, you know, Daniel Jones, who the, you know, who the Giants took at six. But obviously, you know, there's no rush in playing him because, you know, Eli is going to be there for, you know, another year or two. You know, Washington took, you know, Washington ended up going with Dwayne Haskins. It'll be interesting to see if he steps right in and starts or if they do go with the veteran Case Keenum. You know, and then Denver took a guy, you know, Drew Lock in the second round, but obviously Joe Flacco is going to get the start there. So, you know, these guys may be better off sitting and watching like they used to do than Murray probably going out there getting his brains beat in on a bad team.
Yeah, and, you know, since we are in Chicago, what did you think of the Bears draft?
Well, you know, there wasn't much to it. I was really disappointed that they had to trade up to get a running back because they were dumb enough to get rid of Jordan Howard for basically nothing. So, you know, that was kind of a misnomer. I mean, everybody knew that that's where they were going. I do find it humorous that the Eagles, who they traded Howard to, ended up being the team that picked the guy the Bears were projected to pick. So I just thought that was fantastic that they kind of stuck it in their face. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, yeah, you know, they didn't do anything remarkable. We'll see if any of these guys actually help out. I won't be surprised if absolutely none of them contribute in this first year except for maybe on special teams.
Yeah. Now going all the way out west to your team, what did you think of the Seahawks? I almost called them the Mariners.
Yes, you could have. Well, you know, if everybody's right, they had a fantastic draft. You know, but again, you know, we won't know until we actually see them. I mean, they got the pass rusher they needed, you know, in that L.J. Collier. They landed DK Metcalf, who everybody loved at the combine. I don't know if you caught that video. When he went in to have his meeting, the scout told him to take his shirt off. So he did, and when he got into the room, Pete Carroll took his shirt off. So that was kind of humorous.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, again, I mean, we're looking, you know, just depending on how you want to look at it, I mean, you can either pick holes in it or you can just kind of be hopeful that, you know, it's going to work out because, you know, there are no perfect players if they end up, you know, in the right system. Like, I know a lot of the defensive backs Seattle picked, I think they took two or maybe even three, were the kind of guys they like, you know, the taller, longer arm kind of defensive backs that, you know, don't necessarily look like they're going to be stars, you know, a la like, you know, a Richard Sherman, you know, a guy like that who everybody thought would just kind of be average and ended up having a great career in Seattle. You know, so we'll see if they can kind of turn these guys into, you know, into that. But, you know, I don't watch enough college football to know who's what past, you know, maybe the first couple rounds I'll recognize the name and I'm like, oh, okay, I remember that guy. Yeah, that seems like a pretty good pick. But, you know, again, in reality, don't they all seem like really good picks right now, don't they?
Yeah. Now, the best part of all the drafts, you know, and I didn't catch up because I was driving for most of it. I saw one guy had to apologize for a Kaepernick tweet. Were there any other crap drama or, you know, kind of some really great investigative journalist, a.k.a. Jagoff, who spent way too much of his time going back to tweets from, you know, when other players were like 12 years old and, you know, deleted it? Was there anyone else who made any bigger noise or drama with that?
Well, humorously, it was the same guy. We're talking about Nick Bosa, who had a couple more tweets dug up where he said he sided with Donald Trump on a couple things, and he really got killed for it. I don't remember what they were, but they dug up a couple more tweets on this guy, and then humorously, the media turned it into being able to jump all over Donald Trump when he congratulated him on being drafted. Because he didn't congratulate Kyler Murray for being drafted number one, but he congratulated Nick Bosa for being drafted number two by the Niners. And what I just couldn't figure out is if I had a kid on Twitter supporting me and he got drafted and I was able to steal a little shine from congratulating him, and now Murray has never tweeted anything positive about Donald Trump that was revealed or that we know of, wouldn't you go with the guy who said good things about you, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, to me, that was just common sense. But yet, you know, they tried to turn it into a whole political thing. And,
yeah.
You know, you get all the sports writers who really want to be talking about politics. And, you know, oh, well, look at this. Oh, my God, can you believe that, you know, Donald Trump congratulated Bosa and didn't say anything to Kyler Murray? Well, what about the other 30 guys that were drafted in the first round that he didn't congratulate? You know, he didn't. You know, don't they get any love here? But it just because he congratulated the kid who supported him on Twitter,
yeah,
over the guy who tweeted about him.
Well, you know, and that's one of the problems with this country is you're only allowed to say stuff if it's what everyone likes to hear.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, just another scenario of, you know, somebody trying to make a story out of absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Just one of those things. But, you know, it was cool. I mean, I give those people in Nashville there a lot of credit. They had like 600,000 people outside, and the weather wasn't great.
No.
So, I don't think I could have done it, you know, just kind of like, yeah, we're going to stick this out. I think it rained on him a little bit, and then it was a little colder than expected, and I was just like, yeah, I'm glad I'm not there live. So.
Yeah, well, you know, the city actually asked, my sister-in-law was forced to work from home because her building, she drives in every day, their parking garage was shut down. You know, once I believe Wednesday was the last day they were allowed, or no, I don't even know if they were allowing anyone to travel in on Wednesday, but they shut down any kind of public transport for that weekend with the draft there. You know, so, you know, it was a big thing they did there. My family lives down there. They're like, I think it's, you know, the case of a smaller city trying to be bigger. I was like, yeah, but you didn't come to Chicago because they don't give a damn either. They just shut down streets for stupid crap.
Yeah.
So.
You know, but you think, I mean, that's got to be a nice little economic boom for that city for that weekend. I mean, you inject all those people in there, and I mean, you know, I can understand why everybody wants to – let's get the NFL draft to come here. I mean, I don't care what size town I had. I would want them, you know, I would want them to show up, you know, especially if you're a business owner. I mean, you know, that's got to be fantastic when you pump all those people in there.
Well, and they had the stage all set up Wednesday, and we, you know, we pulled into town Wednesday night and we're watching the news with my brother-in-law. And I mean, He said the town is just busy now, the downtown. But I mean, you would have thought you were watching the news on a New Year's Eve with the amount of people that were walking around on a Wednesday night.
Give that a like.
Sportstime Radio.